All right, welcome in to the Keep Prowling podcast today. I mean, sometimes, you know, I have a very special guest, and I do. But today, it's a very special episode. We're doing some end of season awards specifically for the Carolina Panthers. Mm-hmm. Now. That's a hard one to say, I think.
It's a hard assessment to do. But hey, you know, they played their tails off. What can you do? We got to learn, or we got to know. Just the growing phase, right? Yeah. So we're starting back at the foundation.
And there was still a little, you know, even in struggle, there's still a little excellence in
still
there.
Still some
you
hints
know?
Of it. Still, yeah, that's know, all you can ask.
Still
for.
A little excellence in there. But I got my guy Lawrence Gilligan from WCCB News Rising. I'm the host DJ Beal, and look, we're gonna get into it. All right, as you guys are thinking, I know the wheels are turning up there. Okay, I know they're turning. As you think, I'm gonna go through the list, and then we'll go through them together.
Sounds good.
You know, and we've had a couple of changes. Curious to hear your thoughts as well.
Okay,
let me go through this list real quick.
Yeah,
we'll talk about those changes we've had since the last time we got on.
I know, man.
And
lots
you know, we'll give the people a chance to kind of just brew a little bit while we do. So, we got MVP. Right, of course, the most valuable player or person in this kind of scenario. You got Offensive Player of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, Coach of the Year, and Surprise of the Year. You may have some more because we had developed the list. I said, this is a little too hard. I got to adjust a little bit. So
I know.
We'll see what you got also. But I know before we got going, we're talking about this coaching search, this GM search, and how big of an offseason this is going to be for David Tepper. I don't know about you guys out there, but is this the biggest offseason in David Tepper's regime as the owner? I think it is.
Hands down.
Yeah, so he's made some decisions. Of course, you got Dane Morgan as the GM, former player, played on that Super Bowl team. But also, you got Dave Canales, that young offensive mind that we've talked about, that we've wanted, that we've been like, this is what we need. We need something a little different. We need you to take a shot in the dark. We need you to take a chance here, David Tepper. And he did. He did. You got to give him a little bit of credit because he did.
He did. You have to. You know, sometimes you try to reinvent the wheel or you know, you just can't do it. You know, you have older head coaches and things like that that have the experience. And then sometimes you have, you know, the Sean McVays of the world, you know, guys like that, that you're like, well, who was this guy? He was the guy behind the guy behind the guy. Yep. Right. You know, and you're like, OK, cool. So he gets a chance. Why not him? You know, so to wait and see. It's exciting, man. It's good to see young, fresh blood coming in. Hopefully, a fresh mentality. And I do like the mentality of both Dave and Dan saying that, hey, like they want to win and they're hungry to win, and they want guys in the locker room that feel the same way. Yeah. So that's going to be huge.
And it seems like it's interesting. They come from two different sides of the ball. Right?
Yeah,
like
that's good.
Dave Canales is an offensive mind, right? He's going to be able to kind of groom this offense a little bit. But we know Dan Morgan is going to. He's already said, like, I mean, I got Campbell over there in the Lions. He's like, you know, I'm going to rip some kneecaps off and bite some kneecaps.
Right.
Dan Morgan might be from the same blood, okay?
Yeah.
He might be from the same bloodline, all right?
He's got that fire.
He does. Yeah. And it's just very interesting, man. You know, I feel like anytime you get something new, whether it be a new quarterback, whether it be new players, whether it be especially new personnel, new front office guys, you start to think like you start to get this little like a little bit of an excitement just because it's new.
It's
you know, hopefully it's out with the old, in with the new. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, at first I think with Dan Morgan, a lot of people were like, well, it's an in-house hire, right? He played for the team, you know, he's the guy you know, type situation. Were you concerned? But then you bring in Dave Canales, which is kind of completely out of right field.
Right.
You know, especially considering what has went down, you know, up north a little bit with Bieniemy.
Yeah.
And that situation with him not returning to Washington.
I know.
You know, it makes you think now, albeit Washington, I think, probably did it right to a certain degree because they keep – if you feel like Bieniemy is a commodity, you keep him away from everybody else because everybody else is hired.
Right.
But there's all – but and I keep forgetting about this, but there's also that offensive coordinator spot that maybe Bieniemy could step into possibly.
You never know. It depends on – that's the thing too, because they all have certain philosophies and what they want out of production and certain, you know, schemes and how they want to attack on offense and things like that. And if it's something that you're like, I'm not really into, don't do it.
Yeah.
No one's forcing you to do it, right? So we'll have to wait and see. You know, that name, I mean, hey, when I saw him being released, I was like, wow. Yeah. I was shocked.
He's worked with an interesting kind of cast of quarterbacks, both of these guys. Yeah. Like, when you think about Dave Canales, you know, and him and Dan Morgan, of course, have the connection with Seattle and Pete Carroll and all that, right, too. But when you think about Canales, he's worked with Geno Smith. Mm-hmm. I mean, Geno Smith was floundering in the league, it felt like.
Right.
But we didn't know what Geno Smith was going to be. We thought, you know, maybe he's going down that bus territory.
Yeah.
But now he's, you know, been a two-year
he's
starter.
He's rejuvenated his career, yeah, for sure, hands down. Happens.
Baker, last year, about to get an extension off of being coached and helped out by this guy.
Yeah, and so, it's one of those things where you're like, it's funny because you see Baker, they're making the playoffs and things like, you're like, oh, man, the Panthers had that guy. Mm-hmm. Like, what happened, you know? Mm-hmm. That Baker Mayfield was not the same that we saw in Tampa. Right. You know what I mean? Completely two different guys, you know? So it's good to see his success and also good to see that, you know, Dave Canales is a guy that has worked. He's helped quarterbacks turn the corner and had those light bulb moments.
Yeah.
And the emphasis is the offense. The emphasis is Bryce Young, right? And, I mean, you drafted a quarterback no matter what. If it was going to be C.J. Stroud or it doesn't matter anymore. We're with Bryce, so we got to stick by his side, right? So now you need a guy who can mold him and put him and guide him into the right way.
Right.
You know?
And I think, too, the other interesting thing is, you know, from what people have said about Geno Smith, from what people have said about Baker Mayfield, those things haven't necessarily been said about Bryce Young yet.
Right.
So he's still young. He's still got time.
Yeah.
And I think people would venture to say, now, let me know what you guys think about this in the comments. But I think people would venture to say that Bryce Young is probably, raw talent-wise, is more talented than Geno is at this point in his career, as Baker is at this point in his career. So, you know, that shows a lot of upside, too, that I think sometimes we might forget about with a guy who has only been a one-year coordinator.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot to unpack, and I think it'll be interesting because I was talking about it before. Dan Morgan will get his shot at showing what he can do first because, of course, you got free agency and you got the draft and all that before you ever put players on the field.
Yep. It's good. And I think it's good that they kind of got the hiring phase out of the way, you know, and now they can move on to really, really nailing down who they have on their board player-wise. Right. You know what I mean? And obviously some personnel-wise too, right? Because a lot of it, some changes here and there, right, that happens whenever you get a new head coach, new GM. But yeah, now you have your board and now you bring in your head coach and now you can both, now you have that debate. You know, I'm like, oh, well, what do you see in this guy versus that guy? And then you come together. So it's good. It's a good young hire on both sides. Hopefully these guys can age into their roles, you know, and turn the Panthers around.
Yeah, we'll definitely see. And I'm excited to see what happens as it, you know, comes along because it's interesting, you know, when you think about where the Panthers finish this year, right, you're like – You think about Baker, right? Like the Browns, worst team in the league. They get the number one overall pick.
Right.
It's a slow turnaround, but they finally do turn it around.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the time that it takes, you know, is one of those things where it's like, you know, you see that little bit of a spark. And I think we saw that this year.
I think so too.
You know, I think the win-loss record doesn't do you any good, you know, any justice. But I think at the same time, like, you know, I think there is a difference between this team being 2-15 as they finish. If they were 8-8 and still played the type of football they did, where they made it look good, but they found ways to win games, I think they're thinking a little bit differently.
Oh, for sure, hands down. You know, and maybe if they don't start out slow and things like that, and things snowball, maybe Frank Reich still has his job. Yeah. Who knows? Who knows what could be? But here we are. You know, turning the page and hopefully to a successful, you know, 2024 season. Man, I think. It's hard. You know, we've talked about it before, how many years it takes to get there, you know. And, I mean, obviously C.J. Stroud and Texans kind of caught lightning in a bottle that this past year in his rookie year already kind of had maybe a scheme that was already suited to him and the guys around him to help him, you know. Yeah. So it is what it is. But, hey, we just got to – all that outside noise, you just got to focus on what the Panthers are going to do, right? Mm-hmm. So good for C.J. Stroud, you know. And even he even came out in the media, you know, pumping up Bryce Young, man. Like, hey, man, like, it could have happened either way, you know? Right. It could have totally happened. So, like, just hang in there because they're friends, obviously, and everyone's rooting for each other, you know?
Yeah. And I think too, interestingly enough about Dave Canales is kind of going back to the guys he's worked with, he's worked on utilizing their strengths to the best of their ability. A lot of people, you know, and that's the thing. Like, a lot of people want to – want to discuss, well, they weren't really a top offense under him, mm-hmm. but, you know, specifically Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
Right? Tampa Bay wasn't a top offense under him. But also, we got to also remember that in Seattle, that's a run-first team, so mm-hmm. you're not going to see all these fireworks when it comes to Definitely. Passing the ball. But, you know, he made them formidable.
Yep.
And then when it comes to Tampa Bay, you know, they do have a lot of talent, but they play in a heavy defensive division, mm-hmm. you know, that is designed to not allow people to score a whole
right.
lot of points.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's different, too, and interesting to see him go kind of to a division rival. That's another thing
yeah.
that you know, yeah. adds to it, too. So.
Yeah, I've been the that clause in your contract. You're like, yeah, mm-hmm. you can go anywhere else but anywhere in the division.
Yeah.
So. Oh, man. But, yeah, we'll see, man. I mean, hopefully it's a bright future ahead. I'm excited about it. Yeah. Why not, you know?
Okay.
It can only get better, All I think. Right.
So let's jump into these end-of-season
okay.
awards for the Carolina Panthers. You guys obviously know who won the season awards for the rest of the NFL. But
yeah.
we wanted to have a little fun, do it with
for
the Carolina
sure.
Panthers.
Get, yeah, it's fun.
Make a little team-specific here.
I love it.
So I'm trying to think, should we start with the MVP or should we start with, like, Offensive Player of the Year maybe?
We can do Player of the Years first.
Okay.
How about that?
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's do I'll do Offensive Player of the Year.
Okay.
I'm going to say Adam Thielen.
Man, yeah.
A guy who you signed to kind of maybe not be necessarily the guy
right.
in the wide receiver room, but he still showcased that, like, he's still
got a veteran guy. Yeah.
A lot to give.
I think so, too. I think he does. You know, I think it's hard because you come into a situation, you know, and where you're asking a lot from a guy. I mean, heck, he was the number one guy in the Vikings until, you know, obviously –
Justin Jefferson yeah.
kind of stepped in. It happens. But he's still got some gas in the tank. I'll tell you what, I'm looking at his stats. I wrote it down. He had 103 catches, 1,014 yards. Going further back on that, it's the first time he actually had over 1,000 yards since 2018.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So that's kind of crazy. I'm like, wow. You know, 1 year he's hurt and things like that. But still, that's a lot of production that I personally necessarily didn't really see, you know, mm-hmm. because you're like, oh, this, you know, it's just so frustrating to watch because you yeah. want to see them succeed. But he had some good moments, man, and he didn't even start off the season really that healthy. He had that ankle injury, you know,
mm-hmm.
so he's kind of like, is this guy even 100%?
Yeah.
But I think the thing is, yeah, like you said, he's a veteran. I think he can teach a lot to Bryce Young and guys like, you know, in terms of timing, in terms of things that he sees from a mm-hmm. wide receiver's, you know, perspective. So,
yeah.
So yeah, I have to agree with you on that, Adam Thielen.
Okay.
For sure. That's my Offensive Player of the Year.
And I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know if I have any honorable mentions per se.
Yeah.
I think Chuba Hubbard could get a little bit of credit. I don't know about Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Worthy, but he could get a lot of credit because I even wrote him down as my surprise.
Me
of the
too,
year.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I'm right there with you.
You signed Miles Sanders. Nobody's expecting Chuba Hubbard to outrush Miles Sanders.
No.
No one. Like,
no
and
one
by
at all.
You know, by double at least of what
I know.
The production. So
I know. I just
crazy.
Hope it's not fool's gold with Miles Sanders. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
a little
true.
Disgruntled about that. Yeah. But it was good to see Chuba have a great year for
mm-hmm.
sure.
It was. And then when we look at Defensive Player of the Year,
mm-hmm.
who you got?
Man, that's a hard one, right? Because obviously, you know, Brian Burns is the guy, right? Frankie Louvu, man, that dude had 66 solo tackles, 125 total, 5.5 sacks, 59 assists. So the guy is a ball hawk. He was
yeah.
always around, right, making plays. And then you look at Derrick Brown.
Yep.
103 tackles, man. I mean, he had 46 assists, 2 sacks. He had 57 total or solo tackles,
mm-hmm.
103 overall. But, yeah, so, I mean, I'm going to go Frankie Louvu for sure.
Okay.
Just because, you know, I think he's been around. I think he's a great ball player, you know. But I think this year was kind of his year of kind of coming out
mm-hmm.
and showcasing what he's made up to. Because you need that guy to help Brian Burns out,
yeah.
you know. So, yeah, how about you?
Yeah, I think for me, I wrote them both down.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I'm leaning more towards Derrick Brown.
I like it.
Just because, like, Frankie Louvu, I think, was everywhere. But I think Derrick Brown, you could say the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, from
Fantastic
that interior
year.
Spot, he's, you know, he's everywhere. He's sacking the quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, he's, you know, pushing you back and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that. Like, I think, you know, there's a reason why he's the guy he is and, you know, why hopefully he'll be around for a long, long time.
I
so,
know.
You
I know.
Like, he's a guy, like, he's one of the cornerstones of the defense.
I think so, too.
I think, you know, Louvu is another guy who probably is. I think
mm-hmm.
even Frank Reich said it. He's like, we like this guy. We like
yeah.
what this guy can do. He has a high motor. He's everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Everywhere you need him to be, he'll play any position you need him to play.
Yep.
So, you know, I think, you know, those two,
mm-hmm.
And especially if you can keep Brian Burns.
I know.
You know, I think for next year, Evero is going to have a chance to kind of continue to build.
I think so,
that,
too.
You know, continue to build around that defense, which was, you know, very, very good considering.
Yeah, good considering they were on the field the entire, you know, because the offense struggles so much. It's hard to be able to compete at the level of how they're, you know, they need to compete at whenever the offense is three and out and sputtering. You're like, oh, my gosh, we can't get a little drive here to kind of, you know, fill up the gas a little bit. But those guys perform well. But yeah, I do love both of our picks, man. Derrick Brown for sure, and Luvu. I mean, those, like you said, two cornerstones along with Brian Burns. If they can keep them, which I don't know what's going to happen there. Yeah. You know, if they can keep those three guys and figure out ways to maybe get some free agents or something like that. Mm-hmm. The defense is solid, man. I mean, obviously, if it wasn't for a lot of the injuries in the secondary, they were definitely competitive.
Yeah, and that's the big struggle right there is injuries. Injuries overall, because Shaq Thompson got hurt too. So it's like, but injuries in the secondary has been a recurring issue, I feel like, for the Panthers, unfortunately.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
But
hands down.
Does bring me to my coach of the year, which is Evero, the defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
I would say, you know, I think what he did, considering some of the positions his offense put, the Panthers' offense put him in. You know, they locked in for the most part. Now, they had they struggled a little bit against some really good offenses that most teams would struggle against.
Right.
But, once again, we're talking about a team with injuries in the secondary against these high-flying, you know, high-power, high-octane offenses.
Yeah, so that's for tough too, so. For sure. I mean, even it takes me back, honestly. I'm going to side with you, too, with him as well. Even that game, you know, when it was the monsoon here at Bank of America Stadium against Tampa, it's a rival. Tampa kind of needs to win the game. You know what I mean? Like, for their season, right?
Right.
Granted, they still made the postseason. But still, Panthers trying to play spoiled. They had every chance to kind of just – or no, Atlanta, excuse me, not Tampa. Falcons.
Right.
So they had every chance to kind of just fold up and not really – oh, man, we're playing in the rain, you know? But the defense showed up, man. They made turnovers at the end of the game. They were – man, so that – games like that, man, is when I think a defensive coordinator's, you know, fingerprint kind of shines. You know what I mean? It shows you how really gritty – and how strong they really are.
Yep.
So I agree with you on that.
Okay. I like that. Do you have any more that you wrote down that you wanted to mention?
No, just my, like, so if we want to move on and go with Rookie of the Year on the defensive side of the ball, kind of hard to pick out because, I mean, you got a lot of guys that played because of injuries in this, you know, in the secondary. So I had Jamie Robinson from Florida State. He had 10 solo tackles, played sparingly, obviously, behind guys on in that safety role that you know, it's understandable, right? He is a rookie, you know, and he was kind of forced into the role of playing more than maybe that they wanted him to. But, hey, 10 tackles, hopefully he brings a lot more potential to next year.
Yeah, I probably agree with that, too. You know, I think the rookie class really struggled, it felt like.
Yeah,
overall, you know, kind of being thrown into the fire a little bit. But I will say, you know, kind of like you said, you know, he made plays when he could.
Yeah, it is what it is, man. It's hard. I can only imagine trying to learn on that curve. You know, you go from practice squad elevated to a completely different speed.
Right.
And no one goes, you know, it's a completely different game. So sometimes you got to learn on the fly. And that's good game experience, though, too. It is a tough year in terms because we want to win, right? But at the same time, guys get hurt. And you got guys like here that are getting that game experience, right?
Yeah,
that you need to have that depth.
Yeah.
That's why there's a depth chart.
That's true. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I will say, to offensive rookie of the year, I'd probably give to Jonathan Mingo, probably, because I feel like.
Really?
I feel like for him, I don't know, it's tough, right?
He had, what, 400 and some change yards?
Like, I feel like he was kind of thrown into the fire a little bit, too. And, you know, he had some ups, he had some downs.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if I think about anybody else, I mean, you got Chandler Zavala, who played a little bit on the line during some injuries, but I don't think he necessarily played well either.
No, yeah, it's
Bryce
hard.
Bryce Young obviously didn't play well.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think if anybody was thrown to the fire more than anybody, it probably was Bryce Young.
For sure.
Right?
With
changes at offensive coordinator, you know, just
– That's why he's been rookie of the year on
like,
the offense.
You know, what
man.
Do you, you know.
Yeah, he had, I wrote it down, 62 sacks. Okay. I'm glad he made it out alive. Let's be realistic here. He didn't get hurt. That was, you know, a couple of in, or that one injury earlier, I think, against the Saints he suffered home, that home night game. Other than that, though, it was shocking, honestly, to see him get up after some of the sacks he did endure, that you're like, oh, my gosh, because it is a franchise quarterback. And it's hard because it's like, well, he is the future.
Yeah.
But when do we kind of like take him out of that because you don't want him to get hurt, especially at the end of the year when you don't have anything to play for.
Yeah.
You're not even playing for a first-round pick.
Right.
You know?
Yep.
So that's my rookie of the year, just because, I mean, he threw for over 2,800 yards, 11 touchdowns, 10 picks. He was, though, in passer rating, 73.7, which ranks 32 out of 32.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
But that kind of goes in contrast with who did he have to throw to, let alone the time he had to throw, right?
Yeah.
So it's a tough first year, man. I mean, it is what it is. You know what he did in college. He played for Alabama, one of the best programs in the country. The guy's no chop liver. You know what I'm saying? The guy can ball. Now it's time for the head coach and the GM to get him some real weapons. I hate to sound like that or say, you know, I don't know these guys, obviously, but I do want to see them win, you know. I'm not saying you have to get – and maybe that comes down with scouting and things like that, too. I don't know. Who knows, you know? Yeah, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, we will. Because, I mean, I think it's a good one, too, because he was kind of thrown in a tough situation.
Yeah.
I think he will be this team's MVP year after year year.
I hope so, man. I really do. I think
it was just a rough start and a rough situation for a lot of these guys.
It's growing pains, man. But, I mean, to endure that first season, man, gives you a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah.
But I think a guy like that has that true competitive nature that it's only going to make him stronger and better in the end, you know? Yeah. So I'm hoping that's the case. I think it will be the case.
Yeah.
But the front office has some work to do, you know?
So what do you think about MVP for the Panthers this season?
Oh, man. I mean, Eddie Pinheiro.
You have him on there?
Let's go, Eddie.
He won some games for this
team.
He did. Both of them, literally.
Yeah, actually.
So, I mean, I think overall, like, you're not going to throw Eddie Pinheiro in the MVP discussion overall, right?
Yeah.
But, and you hope you don't have to if you're a good enough team. But, you know, I think he deserves a lot of credit for what he did for this team and, you know, winning a couple games here and there.
He had some big-time kicks, you know. He had some that he missed, obviously, I think, like, in Seattle. But he got him back, though, too, you know. So it's a tough position, too, you know. So, obviously, every kick critical, but given the circumstances of – you know, the amount of pressure he had to kick, even these smallest field goals you've seen go wide right, go left easily. He came through, man. So, tip of the cap to him for sure.
Yeah,
I love that.
I would also say the fans deserve the MVP award for just sticking around and, you know, being frustrated, voicing your opinions, but at the same time, you know, some of us were still out there, you know.
Yeah.
Some of us were still – they were still, you know.
I know. I wish it was – you know, so some of those games, though, man, I'll tell you what, the away team had just – yeah, obviously you host the Niners and Cowboys. Teams like that have long-running history. Like, of course, you know, it's hard. They're going to come. No matter what, they're going to come, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, that's the thing, too. The Panthers, I think the city and true Panther fans are going to stick by this team no matter what. And that's what you have to do. I mean, I'm a Panthers fan because I live here. I've embraced the fact that I want this team to succeed for sure.
Yep.
You know, I'm also a Raiders fan, so now I've seen them endure almost the same thing. So I'm like, all right, here we go again. But it's okay, though. You know, it's okay. It's just a matter of hopefully, you know, man, be competitive. I still think the NFC South is winnable.
Yeah.
I really do.
It is, yeah.
It's so winnable.
It'll be, and especially as things go along. And even in the free agent market with some of these guys, like Mike Evans, he's out there possibly, right? Like, you know, there's guys in the division that you got to think about. But
I know. I don't know. I don't know. If you're Mike Evans, you got to probably stick with Tampa Bay, especially after last year. Now, maybe if they don't make the playoffs, maybe it's a different conversation because he's getting older and I would think he would want to get back to a Super Bowl, right? Because that's what you want
to
do.
So you
in the
go
twilight
to
of your career.
Maybe a Kansas City where you might have a better chance at getting one?
I mean, I don't know how Mike feels about playing in the cold and stuff, but that ain't for me. You know, I'd rather go to LA or somewhere where you know it's a flashier team and they have a legitimate shot at getting
Baltimore.
There.
Baltimore,
there you go. Baltimore's not that cold. Yeah. You know, it's cold, but it's not, you know, -4 degree weather you're playing in. But yeah, so we'll have to wait and see for free agency. That's going to be the most interesting thing and the most we'll see what they do because obviously they don't have a first round pick, so they got to do something.
They
but
spend
I
spend some money.
Yeah, and that's great. What a I would say a fun, exciting problem to have to actually have money to spend on these guys, mm-hmm. you know? So hopefully they can get Thielen some help. Yep. So Thielen doesn't have to be forced into that role of being the playmaker every time, mm-hmm. you know?
The Brian Burns saga continues to be one.
It always, and it will be until they extend, you know, they come out with a new contract or figure that out. Then it's going to always be – that'll definitely always be a headline for sure this offseason. Mm-hmm. So I have to wait and see what they do, obviously, yeah. And that's the thing, too. It's like, well, how much do you pay him, you know, if you – granted X amount of years, but you do have this money now to spend on multiple players, too. So it's like, where does that all fit in? I'm not a numbers guy, so I don't know how that stuff works. Yeah. I wish I did.
I know, right?
But you're like, man, how do they do – how do they make some of these moves sometimes, you know?
Sure. I do want to ask, too.
Yeah.
I feel like this team wouldn't be the same without this guy, right? Maybe not MVP.
Ooh.
Right? Maybe not MVP per se.
Oh, man.
But Dave Tepper. Let's see if you guys are listening. All right, Dave Tepper, because this team would not be the 2-15 Carolina Panthers without Dave Tepper and the moves that he's made.
So keep going. Take that. Keep going keep with going that. You sound pretty disgruntled there.
I mean, I just feel like if there was a different owner, it might be a different result. You know?
Yeah.
I'm not saying, you know, he's going anywhere. I'm not saying anything about that.
Right.
I'm just saying some of the moves that he made are direct, you know, correlation to this type of thing. Right? To this team being in this position that they're in. You know, he hired Scott Fitterer. Mm-hmm. He hired Matt Rhule.
Yeah.
He hired Frank Reich. And then fired them all.
Yeah.
To continue to pay them for years and years to come, which is going to go against the cap also.
That's true. So I don't know. I mean, what would you rather do? Drag this thing out with the Frank Reich or something like that?
No.
You know, what's the alternative, right?
I think, like I said, I'm all for giving these coaches a little bit of time.
Yeah.
You know, don't give them a year and hope that they're going to just solve.
I know, a full year.
Yeah,
I know.
I mean, give them a couple months.
Yeah, that's hard. There's something that happened that we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Something happened between management and the coaching. And it could be even a combination of that, and maybe Frank Reich didn't jive with the locker room. Who knows? Mm-hmm. You know, and you couple that with the pressures of winning. I'm sure those conversations didn't go well.
Yeah.
And then lose your locker room, forget it. Yeah. I don't care who you are. They're not gonna. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
They're still human beings. They're not gonna care.
Yeah. And considering also that Tepper likes to kind of put his hands in places that they don't belong. Right?
Sounds like a Jerry Jones type move. Sounds like an Al Davis type move. Yeah,
sometimes I feel like he's not letting the guys that he hired do the job.
And that could be the thing too. And that could be an easy gripe from Frank Reich or anyone else. Like, let me do my job. Why am I here? You know, you're here to micromanage, and that's it.
Yeah.
What it seems like.
Yeah.
You know, we all have them. We all have micromanagers. Well, actually, you know, I will say here, it's not too bad at all, man. We get to breathe a little bit, but we've all had those micromanagers where you're like, just.
So we need to get our stock into the Panthers then.
Get us figure that out too. I don't know. You can't catch me buying any PSLs though. They're still expensive. But it, you know, I just hope, like I said, I hope they have a tough schedule. It's going to be an interesting schedule when it all comes out in terms of.
Mm-hmm.
When they're playing who, you know. So that'll be interesting, man. It's just get me back to training camp and back to game one of preseason.
Yeah, but before we get there, we got one more game.
One more game. Okay, I'm going to whip this out. I brought this in. I meant to wear it for the MVP awards.
Uh-oh.
But I got some. I'm taking off this. Don't mind the – if I smell because I've been anchoring for four hours.
Hey, 4 hours, that's a long time, my friend.
I actually smell still kind of a little fresh. I'm surprised. But yeah, 4 hours.
He's bringing out the golden jacket.
Check this out.
He's bringing out the golden jacket.
Still pretty much in good condition.
Look at that.
I got this back when I covered the Panthers way back in the day. I won't say for who, but yeah. That's a nice game apparel here. Yeah, thank you.
I mean, you got the patch on there.
This is the real deal, TJ. We don't mess around, man. Okay. Yeah, I didn't go and buy this on the street corner for $20. This is the real deal. Okay? But yeah, let's talk about the big game, man. Who you got?
I think you're big game ready at this point.
I am. This is quite comfortable, I have to say. I hardly ever wear it.
Better than a suit jacket, you'd say? What do you think?
No, there's nothing better than a fresh cut or a fresh, nice suit jacket, man.
Do you the tailor?
No. Man, we don't have it like that, DJ. No. I pick out my own sizes and make sure, put that one back, you know.
You gain a little on the side, lose a little on the side.
What happened? What happened? All you know, the dad bod transition. All you dads out there know what I'm talking about. But yeah, big game, man. Chiefs, Niners.
Unfortunately, this team's not in it. There's always room for.
Maybe it's hard to believe, man. We're at Super Bowl 58. This is 8 years ago.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Just goes to show you how long it takes, man. It happens every year, man. Unless you're like a Chiefs type team or a Niners type team who's been around forever, and you want to go play for the logo, right? Mm-hmm. How long does it take to get to the Super Bowl, let alone win it, and then get back there?
Yeah,
you know, that's true. Incredible what you can do.
And I think too, it's interesting because that brings up an entire other discussion.
Yeah.
Because if the Chiefs win, you know, I'll have to eat my words and call them a dynasty, and I don't want to. But, everybody hates the winners, man. I'll be honest, man. Like the Chiefs were the lovable underdog, four or so years ago when they're scratching and clawing to get there?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, they're losing to Brady.
Yeah.
Who's the lovable underdog anymore, right?
Now they're the guys.
So,
yeah.
It's very interesting. And I think also there's a window, right? Because Travis Kelce can't play for so long, right? Now, Mahomes is still young.
Yeah.
You know, he's still doing his thing, and I think they'll still be around.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when Travis Kelce goes, I wonder if this dynasty goes.
Possible. It's a possibility, man. I mean, you saw the success from Tom Brady without Rob Gronkowski and with him, you know. Mm-hmm.
He even brought him to Tampa.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. And look what happened.
Yeah.
So. Brought him there for a reason, and I mean, they still got there and won it. Isn't that wild?
Yeah,
you're right, man. It goes to show you, man. That's like almost like a marriage that you hope lasts a long time, you know. And that's the thing too. I'm not sure how old Kelce's got to be in his 30s, right?
He's the same age as Gronk, ironically enough.
Really? 37?
He is 36 or so, something like that.
Oh, so he is,
He's older than he looks, I think. Because it doesn't seem like he's been doing his thing for this long, but he has. Like, he's older. 34, okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, he's probably got maybe two or three years left in the tank, realistically. Yeah. If you want to leave the game.
At a high level.
Right.
Yep, right. That's true.
Yeah. Okay, so who you got?
So, with the Niners and the Chiefs,
mm-hmm.
I feel like this is a good matchup in favor of the Niners.
You do?
The Chiefs' run defense is mm-hmm. not good.
Yeah.
But the Chiefs make you uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the other thing, too. Like, they make you not play a style of play that you want to, and they have that Super Bowl-winning pedigree.
Right.
The Niners don't have that, and Kyle Shanahan has been hearing about it since he lost with the Falcons and since he lost with the Niners the last time.
Yeah, 4 years ago,
You know? So that's my thing. Like I feel like for me, when I look at it, when I think about it, and I got a couple of other opinions on here, too, that I got from some other people around the office, but for me, I feel like the Niners can win this game as long as they play their game. I don't think there's any way
the
Chiefs can stop CMC.
Yeah.
His ability to do literally everything.
Deebo Samuel, and, you know, CMC.
There's other guys on that team now. The other question is if Brock Purdy gets rocked a little bit, right? If he gets a little nervous, I'm trusting Mahomes a little more than I'm trusting Purdy just because he's been there, he's done that.
Yep.
But there's so much talent on that team. You know, they kind of give Chiefs vibes before, right?
Where
there's so much talent. How do you defend all of it?
Yep.
But they're going to have to run the ball. Even if they get down against the Chiefs, they're going to have to run the ball. Mm-hmm. They're going to have to stick to it. They did it with the Lions, right? The thing the Ravens didn't do when they played the Chiefs is they got down and they stopped running the ball. You're only down 10.
Can't go away from your identity.
Don't go away from what got you there.
Yeah.
And the 49ers aren't going to do that.
No.
They're a better coach team than the Ravens are.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think I want the Niners to win, obviously, for CMC and for Steve Wilks, you know, the coordinator who – Panthers probably should have hired, you know. But that's in the past. You can't change that now, right? So I want to see those guys win, obviously, for those purposes, right? But yeah, I think you're right, too. I think if the Niners don't play the past 2 weeks they have played in the postseason in terms of – they look sloppy, you know. Yeah. But you are also in the playoffs playing – the creme de la creme, right? The best teams that should be there, right? The Lions are on fire. They're playing with confidence. I'm shocked that they even came back from that, but that also shows maybe this is their year.
Yeah.
You know, any other kind of home team possibly, it just only takes one bad throw towards the end there or a scramble that goes wrong or something that kind of does it, you know? So
that's true.
I'm going to go with the Niners too, as painful as that is being a Bay Area guy and being from Oakland. I do think the Niners are going to win. I hope it's a good game.
Can I give a bold prediction?
Yeah.
Real quick? And I got Jeff Taylor's prediction and Jack Taylor's prediction also. But I want to give a bold prediction. I think the Niners will end the Kansas City dynasty hopes.
Wow. I think they will. Yeah. Now, you think it's going to be handedly? You think it's going to be not a domination like a, you know, it's over in the first quarter type of game. But, I mean, do you think it's going to be like, oh, man, yeah. The Chiefs.
I think it's going to be a hurtful loss for the Chiefs.
Right,
because I think the Chiefs, they've been this air of dominance, right? Mm-hmm. They've been the team that's there over and over and over again. And really, let's be honest, the Niners kind of have been too, right? Now, the Chiefs have four, right? Chiefs have this is their fourth Super Bowl appearance. Mm-hmm. This is the Niners' second in that same span of time.
Right.
And last year, if they don't get hurt against the Eagles, we're probably thinking something. You know what I mean? We're probably
– easily could have been 50-50.
Going at it again, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, we're going Hogan Andre. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, that's – no, you're right, man. Yeah, that's a great analogy, too. Yeah. I agree with you 100%. They've always kind of been to the dance, you know. It'd be different.
Very consistent.
Yeah, it would be a different conversation if the Lions beat them and it's the Lions versus the Chiefs. Well, then, I mean, my goodness, you know, what do you expect is going to happen?
Yeah.
But, yeah, so I'm right there with you, man, for sure. Yeah, they've sneakily been a very good football team for 5-6 years.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And Jeff Taylor, I asked him about it. He said the Chiefs' defense and offense has improved. The 49ers' offense will get the job done. He said CMC will be the wild card, which I agree.
Yep.
And he said Steve Wilkes' defense will shut down the Chiefs' offense. And it's funny you say that because when you think about the Chiefs' offense and how dominant they've been, shut them down, that can't happen. But look at what Baltimore did.
Yeah.
If Baltimore could score and not fumble at the goal line.
Right. Man. I thought he was in.
Look, if all you got to do is keep going.
Yeah.
Right? Keep doing. Keep pounding.
Keep pounding. Look, I love it.
All right, I'm going to stop. Look, all you got to do is just keep playing your game. And you got it. Because the Chiefs, and that's the thing. Like, luckily for everybody, for Chiefs fans, the game is not played on paper. And on paper, the Chiefs are not nearly as talented as probably any of the teams they play throughout the playoffs.
Yeah.
But the game ain't played on paper, so there you go.
Right. It's like a mentality thing. It's the right play calling. It's being on the right side of a turnover. It's being – there's just so much that goes into it. And you're like, how is this – you know, but yeah, you're right. You're exactly right.
Yep. And then Jack Taylor, he said it's a coin toss, but kind of like, you know, can go up.
Any, yeah.
You know, it's one of those games that they're evenly matched. Obviously, they faced off before. He said it's a coin toss, but the Chiefs are always hard to count out. Right, he said they can make you uncomfortable. Look what they did in previous weeks with you know, two really good high-powered offenses.
Yeah,
but he's hoping the Niners. You know, he doesn't want to see us. He don't want to see the Swifties out there on the field.
Oh my gosh,
you know, storming the field.
Can you imagine? I know it. I know, man. I'm sorry. I just want to apologize that your Ravens couldn't get it done in Baltimore. I've been there
for 2 weeks now. Okay?
Hey, it's okay. I was there at the AFC Championship game when the Oakland Raiders hosted the Baltimore Ravens. And I'm like, oh, man, the Raiders are going to make it to the Super Bowl. I get to be at the AFC Championship watching my team. And it was over in, like, I want to say the first or second quarter when Tony Siragusa fell on Rich Gannon. Purpose. He came out and said he did it on purpose to hurt him. Broke his collarbone. And we had to rely on Bobby Hoeing the rest of the way. Early.
Yeah.
And at that time, the Ravens defense was lights out.
Yeah.
So I remember the Raiders had them third and long, and then a streaking Shannon Sharp across, because we're on this end zone looking this way. So you can kind of see the plays develop, which I love sitting at that angle. I don't like sitting on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can see the plays develop. And I see him come in and he catches it. I'm like, there's no one there. Yeah. So he catches it and he's just gone towards us. And I'm like, here comes Shannon Sharpe. And I'm like, it's over. Because, you know, the defense was just unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And the Raiders didn't have a true backup. Who does really have a good backup?
And that's kind of, interestingly enough, a little off topic. But that's how I felt last week. And that kind of keys back in, too. Like, if you can find a way to shut the Chiefs down, that's kind of all the Ravens needed also, was just that one score to just change the tide. And I think that's going to be kind of the pendulum that we're going to be swinging on Sunday. Is like, if the Niners do get down, right, or whatever it may be, or they find some struggles offensively, they can just get that one score to find their way back in. And, you know, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if it's CMC doing the scoring.
It's going to have to be. I mean, you have to have – Brock Purdy has to play the best game of his career on Sunday for them to win.
I almost think, like, when you say the best game, take what they're giving you.
Yeah,
right. The Chiefs are smart. They're going to take – they're opportunistic. They're going to take away what you do best.
Yep.
Right? Or they're just going to try
to – they're going to bait you.
They're going to make you nickel and dime down the field. That's okay. Nobody – at the end of the day, Brock Purdy, you're in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
One game away from being a world champion in this league, right? From Mr. Relevant to world champion, right? So this is your moment. Play your game.
Yep.
Right?
Don't fall into the trap of,
well, Cam said I was a game manager, so I got to.
Yeah.
No, be that. Because a Super Bowl ring, I hate to say this, but a Super Bowl ring on your finger looks a lot better than what Cam's got right now. And I hate to say that, but you'll have something he doesn't have. You shut up everybody you win this game. Mm-hmm. You shut up Chiefs fans. You shut up everybody who called you a game manager. And even if they do,
who cares?
I'll take a Joe Flacco-led Super Bowl and be a game manager all I want to.
Who cares? They obviously gave you the job to manage the game, so manage the game. You know going into it what they want from you, what the expectation is.
Yep.
We'll see. We'll have to wait and see, man.
We'll see how it goes. Lawrence, I appreciate you for coming by, man.
Man,
it's always fun.
Always a pleasure, man.
We did the awkward thing, man. It's been too long. That's what it is. Like, you know, we out of sync.
Yeah, we're out of sync a little bit, but I had to give you space after the Ravens.
That's true. Yeah, I appreciate that.
I had to send you my.
I need to go in the room and just be okay.
It's okay. Trust me, man. Been there, done that. It's always next year. I'm still trying to heal from that AFC game, and that was 2000 and. I don't even know what year that was. The Ravens, they won that Super Bowl. I think it was over the Panthers.
Yeah.
Actually, that year. No, the Patriots. What year am I thinking of?
The Giants? Somewhere over the Giants?
Yeah, was that 05, 04? Somewhere around there. I don't know. I'd have to dig it up and look.
Well, yeah, because 04
maybe
was when.
Maybe earlier than that.
It was earlier than that. It was 2000.
2001, maybe? Because I think I actually was in high school. Yeah. I was in high school, and my parents let me stay in California for Christmas break. It was 2001. Yeah. I remember that because all my friends back when I was in New Mexico, they're like, how come you're not back at school? And I'm well, I'm staying for the AFC Championship because school got back into session that week before. And it was like, and my dad's like, this might be a once in a lifetime chance to watch them play in the AFC Championship at home.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And how long has it been since?
Yep.
You know, it's been a long time. So,
it's fun.
Yeah, it's been fun. Hey, man, great time. I appreciate you.
Of course. All right, man. Always fun. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Remember, the Keep Piling Podcast is on all major podcasting platforms. So check us out over there. Be sure to share the video as well. Subscribe if you haven't already. We're going to go ahead and get on out of here. Get ready for this big game. You know, I'm sure there's going to be some good snacks going on.
Buffalo chicken dip, all that stuff.
Wings. I mean, every, you know.
I'm already fasting for it. Yeah, I'm already fasting.
You gotta be ready for Monday. You know?
True, man. You see me sweating, and you know exactly what I was doing.
But definitely hope you guys enjoyed the show. This has been the Keep Prowling Podcast.